Morning, church. How are you? It's great to be with you this morning. It's good to just be able to gather these times and 10 a.m. devotions and be in worship, be in the Word, and get encouraged. And I hope today what God's laid on my heart is a really strong encouragement for us as the church today, individually, wherever we are. And so let's pray before we go into the Word this morning. Lord, thanks for this morning. Lord, just bless your Word and bless your Word to my heart. Lord, I need this. And to those that are listening, to those that will listen later, and those we'll share it with. And Lord, I just pray that you would stir us up, Lord. Lord, I know this, anything that's of man, may it be forgotten. But Lord, anything that's of your Spirit, may it penetrate us and we not be able to escape it. And Lord, may we just hear your Word and obey. And you promised to do the work, Lord. And you're just faithful that way. So thank you for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's so good to be with you. This past Sunday, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday after Good Friday and the crucifixion of Jesus, and we celebrated the moment in history that everything pivots on. I mean, it literally is the crux. That's literally where that word comes from. The crux of all of history, of all of time, was the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The bodily resurrection of Jesus, the only Son of God, who laid down his life for us sinners, the whole world, and then picked it up again to show the whole world that he alone has the power over death. He has that victory. He has that ability to do that. And that we have eternal life simply by believing in him and what it is he's done for us. And I praise God that we can honor God with our lives, but there's no way with our lives we could ever earn what he's done for us. It's been said many times that that in our church services, we have this opportunity to worship him and to praise him. And boy, I miss that. I miss coming together with the body of Christ and just worshiping out loud. I almost get teary-eyed every time I think about just being together with you again and just belting it out from our hearts in spirit and truth, the worship of our God. And in our Sunday's church service that we did on the live stream this past Sunday, we celebrated communion together, albeit we did it all individually in our homes. And we did that because Jesus asked us to. He asked us to do that in remembrance of him, always remembering what he did with his broken body and his shed blood, and paying once and for all the penalty for all sin. In John chapter 6, if you'll turn there, John chapter 6, and boy, I miss hearing the pages turn. I can't hear that with us being streaming here. But in John chapter 6, Jesus first shared this thought, this idea of consuming his broken body and his shed blood. And I tell you what, it was a hard, hard teaching in that moment for them. Let's read that, starting in verse 47. I'm going to read through this real quickly. "Most assuredly, I say to you," Jesus said, "he who believes in me has everlasting life, and I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am that living bread," he said, "which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." And then it says in verse 52, "The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Because boy, this was a hard, hard teaching. Everything, all commandments of God would say, you never eat flesh in this way, right? This was mind-blowing to them at the time when he said that. And then as Jesus does, he doesn't stop there. He goes on and even makes it harder for them. In verse 53, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he feeds on me, who will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, well, this is an understatement. This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Which he obviously knew that it would in the context of all the teaching of how the Jews were to handle blood and handle bodies. And wonderfully, he goes on then, skip down there to verse 66 in the interest of time. He says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Many people drifted away when a hard teaching, when a hard assignment of understanding came from Jesus. And then I just love how he did this. Jesus, he turned to the 12, his closest disciples, and he said, "Do you also want to go away?" Yeah. But Simon Peter answered him, and Peter's always speaking up, right? And I'm loving the Peter character in the Chosen series right now. If you've not seen it, they've captured the spirit of Peter so well. But he says, Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I mean, the moment that was said, when Peter said that, was them reckoning in their hearts, there is no other answer. There is no other place. There is no other Messiah. There is no other Savior. No one else, Lord Jesus, has the words of eternal life, even in the midst of an incredibly hard teaching that he had just shared with them. And then it finishes in 69 there. "Also, Peter said, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen." So Jesus gave a hard teaching, a hard assignment, if you will. And that day, those following him, the 12, the others, they had to decide. They had to decide what they were going to do about this Jesus with this hard teaching. Am I going to follow Jesus when it's hard, when it's difficult, when I may not understand the why of what's going on all around them in this moment? And believe me, this was a hard, hard teaching moment for them. Really, it was asking, is Jesus enough, even if I don't understand all that's going on in the moment? It goes on then, when we think about this hard assignment, we have a hard assignment right now, just in how we're dealing with the things, the world events that are going on around us, the things of the pandemic and people's health and people passing away and being sick and dealing with, you know, being shut down in so many ways. In 2 Timothy 2, it was written, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." God has enlisted us as his soldiers. We are literally in the army of the Lord in this way. Our assignment, we've been separated. We have this assignment from the Lord. Nothing happens outside of him. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. We've given this assignment in his army to be separated from families and friends, our church homes, being able to gather together in this way. In the physical sense, we have been separated in this way. We can't gather together in groups and with groups of people. Now, you got to understand, I love church. I love getting together at church. With the doors are open, we're here as a family usually. I believe this is the hope of eternity in this world. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ has this special commission that we'll talk about more, you know, this assignment. I believe it's the key strategy of God in this world, that the church is there to reach out to a dying and needy world all around them. Jesus' church, us, the body of Christ. The people, though, it's interesting, right? The people, not the place. The people, not the place, is the church. We are the church. But yet the place is important, because it's the place that we gather, the place that we come and connect together. It's so many of us at one time. It's the place the church gathers, not the body of Christ. That's us, the people. But it's this place we have to come and enjoy in close proximity, in a physical sense, being in each other's presence, being the body of Christ. It's where we gather the most often. It's literally, if we're in the Lord's army, it's our base camp. It's our base camp. And as a soldier, a base camp is the place where you go to get rested up, healed up, trained up, fit up, equipped, and fired up for the mission that our commander has for us. But it's not the place. Base camp is not the place where the battle is fought, where the war is being waged. In fact, if you're fighting a battle in your base camp, you're almost definitely losing the war. You've been overrun. It's danger close, as they would say in the military. So we aren't fighting a war at base camp, but we are fighting a war when we're away from base camp. And right now, we're called to fight that war, the spiritual battle of everything that's going on around us out there, outside of our base camp. And for a time, base camp was closed. God's allowed this moment of time where we're not gathering at base camp. We're not getting together and having this equipment and refreshing together in physical proximity to each other. But we are the church, the army of God, for the cause of gospel. Make no mistake. The assignment, the commission has not changed for us whatsoever. I started to wonder in my heart, had us, a nation across the globe even, maybe we had started taking the gathering of the church together physically as a little too common. And I'm not sure I'll ever do that again, having not been able to do it now for these so many weeks with you. C.T. Studd, a pastor, once said, "Some want to live within the sound of the church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." And it's a fascinating saying of what he's saying. He's like, I want to be out there on the front line. But spiritually, when we step out on this world, 1 foot out of base camp, we're within a yard of hell. We're instantly in the battle, in the midst of being away from the place where we get to gather as church and be encouraged and equipped. No distance has to be traveled to find trouble as we drive away from church on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, or sometimes it's just in the car ride home even. If you want to see how close it is, just go to a toilet paper aisle in your local Walmart, right? We want to see the battle raging right now in our in the world around us. Many of us leave churches under a sign that says, "We're now entering the mission field." We're now entering the mission field. And for this season, we've been forced out into the mission field. I pray more than ever that we see that statement as an absolute truth of us as the body of Christ. Because here's the reality right now: if we can't be at base camp, then every single one of us is forward deployed. Every single one of us is downrange, as they say in the military. We actually always have been. It's part of the Great Commission. It's just that now it seems for a season the Lord has allowed our buildings for large gatherings, even gatherings larger than your family, just to be not allowed, to be closed for this season. He's really turned us inside out and pushed us out into the community. So here's a question from us that comes from my good friend Dave Holly, a part of our fellowship here. Does the world see us? Does the world see me? Does the world see you as forward deployed for the cause of Christ? Are we undercover, under suspicion, or undeniable for the gospel? Hear those three options again. Are we undercover, under suspicion, or undeniable? Are we undercover where nobody knows that we're out there for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the saving of people's souls? Are we under suspicion? Are people wondering, are we a believer? Are we in the army of God? Or are we undeniable, sold out for the cause of Christ? I'll come back to that question when we finish at the end. Romans 1:16 says this. I love this verse. It's one of the key verses in my life. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." We have this command to not be ashamed in this way. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with holy angels." Boy, church, I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want the Lord to see us that way or me that way. When he comes, I want it to be in the boldness that we have been sold out for the cause of Christ and what he has for us and his commands and his encouragement for us. I want to read something to you. This was read at a men's advance several years ago. It's really good. It's really strong. It's a little long. It used to be in the first person. I've changed it for us together to be in the we and the us. And it just says, "We're warriors. We're warriors." And so there, I don't know the author. It's author unknown, but bear with me as we read through this. And I'll be glad to put a link in the after the fact in the chat for people to see this. Says, "We are warriors in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commanding officer. The Holy Bible is our code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are our weapons of our warfare. We have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. We're volunteers in the army, and we are enlisted for eternity." We'll either retire in this army or die in this army. But we will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. We're faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If our God needs us, we are there. Thankfully, He empowers that to be true in our lives. We're warriors, we're not babies. We do not need pampered, petted, primed, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. We're warriors. No one has to call us, remind us, write us, visit us, entice us, or lure us. We're warriors, we're not wimps. We are in place saluting our King, Jesus, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. No one has to send us flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give us handouts. We don't need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. We're committed. And we cannot have our feelings hurt bad enough to turn us around. We cannot be discouraged enough to turn aside. We can't lose enough to cause us to quit. Listen to this. When Jesus called us into this army, we had nothing. We had nothing. If we end up with nothing, we'll still come out even, and we'll still win eternally. Our God will supply all our needs. We are more than conquerors, He tells us. We will always triumph. We can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat us. People cannot disillusion us. Weather cannot weary us. How about this one? Sickness cannot stop us. Sickness cannot stop us in the power of Christ. Battles cannot beat us. Money cannot buy us. Governments cannot silence us, and hell cannot handle us because of Jesus. We are warriors. Even death cannot destroy us. For when our commander calls us from this battlefield, He will promote us to a captain. We are warriors in the army. We are marching, claiming victory. We will not give up. We will not turn around. We are warriors marching heaven bound. I just came across this morning, and it just really encouraged me that we need to see that we are forward deployed. In this moment where we can't be at base camp, we can't be at church together, all collecting together in mass groups, we still can be effective for the cause of the gospel. We may not be able to go and visit people, but guys, the technology that was separating us so greatly before all this happened is the technology that allows us to reach out and communicate and touch people's lives and encourage them, mailing people things, sending them encouragements, reaching out for the cause of the gospel, praying for people in need, sharing the good news of why we have this hope within us. There's four kinds of soldiers that somebody went on and added to the end of that poem I just read, and it says this: there's active duty, serving the Lord faithfully and daily, on duty 24/7, 365. There's reserve status, serving only when called upon or once or twice a year, Christmas and Easters. There's guard status, only just backing up all the active duty people. And then there's AWOL, absent without the Lord. Those four status of the soldiers that we're called to be in. What kind of soldier am I? What kind of soldier are we? What kind of soldier are we now? As Dave Holly pressed, are we undercover, under suspicion, or undeniable, sold out for the cause of Jesus Christ? Now here's the great encouragement. Most armies find their strength in the skill and strength and numbers of the soldiers in their army. We find our strength in the omnipotent power, the omniscient knowledge, and the perfect sacrificial love of our general, our Lord and Savior Jesus. If it's only us and Him, then the battle is still won. The battle is still won. So this morning, I just want to be just a great encouragement to us to stand up, salute the Lord, and say, Lord, I'm here, use me. Show me how to reach out. Show me who to call. Show me who to email. Show me who to make a care package for. Show me who to make masks for. Whatever would be that we would just be willing to serve Him in this moment while we as the church that God has ordained. You know, we didn't choose the moment in time in history we were born. You know, sacred things in our lives are we born male or female? Who our parents are that we didn't choose? What time of history we're born and what location in the world that we're born. Those are sacred things God chose for us. We were born in this time, in this place, into this unit of His army because He chose that for us. Now we have the opportunity to go out and be bold and loving and reaching out people with the only thing that saves, the only thing, and that is Jesus and Him crucified. I love you guys. I can't wait till we can be back together. Let's pray now. And I just pray this was an encouragement this morning. I know I needed it. It stirred me up this morning. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that nothing catches you off guard. Nothing happens outside of your understanding, Lord, and your care. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us as the church, your army, the people fighting for the cause of Christ, that, Lord, as we stand up for you, Lord, for your word and the souls of men, women, girls, and boys, Lord, would you encourage us that this matters, that eternity is at stake. The devil is fighting now, Lord. There is a battle. He's defeated, but he still fights, Lord, because he's trying to take people that they would not know you, Jesus, eternally. You've commissioned us. You've put it in our hands, Lord, to step out and reach out and share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. We all have relationships and people, Lord, that don't know you. Help us to be loving and reach out to them. Help us not to care, Lord, about all the what ifs. And Jesus, help us to stand firm on the statements of even if. We will follow you. We'll love you. We'll share you. Bless these folks, Lord. Encourage them. I pray for their health, Lord. I pray for their provision, which all comes from you, God. I just love them. So care for them, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. Look forward to getting together with you again very soon. See you tomorrow at 10 a.m. devotions. Amen.